welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board. Well, we're back from a wonderful retreat. Amen. Let's just praise God for the retreat planning team, for Valerie and Paulia and Eva. Hallelujah. Well, there's a lot that I believe we want to try to accomplish today, so let's pray. Father, thank you for this time to be with your people, to be about your word, to proclaim the wonders of the good news of Jesus Christ. We ask you to just have your way in all that takes place here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, I want to begin with something that's not actually part of the message, but it's good anyway, amen, because it's in the Word. It's not in the scripture sheet, but it's found in Revelation chapter 8. I'm trying to think, have I read from Revelation before? I'm not sure that I've shared anything out of Revelation from here. Well, this is the first time for everything. Okay, Revelation chapter 8, starting in verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. That's worth making note of, because in the previous passages, heaven is just loud, just praising God continually, constantly, you know, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth full of his glory, and it's making things shake and what have you. So silence in heaven for about half an hour is, you know, worth making note of. Amen? And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Now, the context of this is that the church is undergoing persecution. And this is written by the Apostle John on the island of Patmos. He's been exiled because of his testimony about Jesus. And the church Rome is beginning to persecute the church. And they're responding to this. And so the prayers of the saints are going up, and a lot of their prayers are for relief from the persecution and for God to do something about what's going to happen. And what I want us to note about this is that the smoke of the incense, he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of the saints. Okay, so prayers are going up, and there's incense being offered with them. And incense in the temple, incense was offered before there was incense going up before the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was. And the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. So you need to know that your prayers are going up and doing something. Amen? And so the reason I mention this is that you may have heard there's a hurricane coming. And they're saying really bad things about the hurricane. And we have a responsibility. Remember that God put Adam and Eve in the garden to take care of it? Right, we are caretakers of the earth. Amen. We're caretakers for the planet. We don't always act that way, but we are called. That's what we are called to do. And part of that caretaking is through the ministry of prayer. Now, in their situation, they were praying largely for deliverance from the persecution and implicitly for judgment on Rome. And so the prayers went up, and you know, God was getting ready to do something about it. The angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, hurled it on the earth. Okay, there were rumblings, et cetera. But I want you just to see from a broader perspective, our prayers accomplish things, and when there's danger coming, it's not just about us. I mean, we need to pray for our own safety and our own deliverance, but there are millions of people who can be affected by this. There are people who don't know Jesus who could die or who could have an opportunity to discover Jesus in the midst of all of this. And so I want us to take a few minutes to pray for the region that's potentially impacted by this storm. And to pray for people, you know, my inclination is to pray for God to blow it out to sea. Now, you know, some things are easy to pray for and to accomplish based on just the faith that the Lord's brought about in you. And some things, you know, need lots of folks praying for them. And it's because God has enlisted us as partners in this work. He's training us. He's preparing us for the stuff we're going to do in the future. And he uses our prayers to line us up with what it's like to reign with Christ. Amen? And so there's some things that need a lot of people praying, right? And so I don't know, I don't have a prophetic word. I don't know what is going to happen in the storm. And I don't know if it, you know, I don't know what God's purposes may be in this storm. But it can't hurt to pray. And so we need to pray for protection for ourselves and our homes, and pray for protection for our neighbors, the people around us, family members, other folks, folks not related to us, but part of the planet that God loves. Right. Amen? So I'm going to take a few moments to pray, and if anyone wants to sort of pray out loud, you know, just brief prayers, but let's pray and intercede against the harm that this storm could do. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of praying, of joining with you to pray for the world that you love. And we just thank you. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for your faithfulness in prayer. All right. For those who don't know me, my name is Rockin' Clark. And even if there, I think everyone knows me in the room, but they don't all know me on the podcast. So there. I'm senior, yes, Rockin' Clark Senior, thank you. although I do enjoy watching Rockin' Clark. The two of you guys had y'all had some fun at the retreat. That was praise God. Make it rain. okay. That was the first thing. Let's get into our message. I need a who's good at leading Simon Says? Good. Good. Excellent. It's in the house. Okay, all right, just stay there. We're gonna do that in just a minute. Oh, you know what, actually, it'll be a few minutes. But thank you. You're the one. No, I'm not leading, Simon Says. Yeah, okay. sorry. Okay, so we're coming back from a wonderful retreat, and at the end of the retreat, as we closed out, Pastor Valerie pointed out that it is all about Jesus. Amen? Amen. And so today we're going to explore our association with Jesus. Amen. Do we really understand what our association with Jesus is, and can we explain it to others? Amen. Amen. So I want to start with understanding, and we'll start with the word Christian. Christian comes from Christ. Christ means anointed one, effectively the king, because the Jews anointed their kings. They would pour oil on them as a symbol of the Holy Spirit coming to empower them to serve. And so the anointed one in Hebrew is Mashiach, and which gets pulled into English as Messiah. That's called a transliteration. Christos in Greek, when they would translate Mashiach into Greek, it was Christos, anointed one, and gets pulled into English as Christ. And in Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26, it's not on your sheet, so you'll have to get your Bible. You have a Bible? Hold your Bible in the air. Just, you know. Very good. This is lovely. Okay. If you need a Bible, you're probably going to need a Bible. So if you don't have one, let's grab some of the spare Bibles. I want to encourage you to bring your Bibles to church. I mean, we provide the sheets so that we can be friendly to unchurched people. If you are churched, then you should have a Bible of your own and bring it. Amen? Okay, Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26, and it reads, "Now those who had been scattered..." Oh, I'll give you a couple more seconds here. that's interesting. You know, the reception is bad, so I can't read my Bible is a modern problem. Acts 11, 19 through 26. "Now those who've been scattered by the persecution..." Okay, let's. "Now those who've been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews." Make note of that. "Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." Okay? This is where the term Christian comes from. Now, who do you think was calling them Christians? Was it the followers of Jesus? Based on this passage, was it the followers of Jesus? Was it the Jews? Was it the Greeks? Any thoughts? The Greeks. Okay. Now, the Jews who didn't follow Jesus, did they consider Jesus to be the Christ? No. Right? So they wouldn't have called them Christians, right? Because Christ to them is significant. That's the Messiah. That's the, right? So it was most likely it was the Greeks, as Emma said it, right? Who said it? Valencia? Okay. Valencia said it. So it was the Greeks saying, they hear them talking about Christ, Christ, Christ. So those are Christians. They belong to Christ. Amen? That's what Christian means, belonging to Christ. Okay? In other words, according to the Bible. Now, the word comes to mean various things, in our modern culture, but if you're going to use the word like the Bible says, sometimes when you're having a conversation with someone and they ask you, are you a Christian or what is it about Christianity? You can say, well, what do you mean by Christian? Right? That's a good way to sort of enter into a dialogue. What do you mean by that word you use? Right? Are you saved? Well, what do you mean by saved? Okay? So Christian means belonging to Christ. Amen? Amen. Now, we'll go to before we do that, I'm going to have Bill come up and lead us in a little bit of Simon. How many people don't know what Simon Says is? Anyone don't know? So explain. Okay, so Bill.
All right, everybody ready? You all know how to play this game, right? All right, if you know how to play this game, just raise your hand. Okay. All right, you ready? All right, stand up. Let's go. Let's stand up. Let's go. Come on, stand up. All of you that stood up, you're out. All of you that stood up. All right, let's stand up. Simon says stand up. Are you ready to play this game? If you're ready, say yeah. Have a seat. All right, you guys ready? Yeah. Simon, now if you move, clutch, you flinch, you're out. All right? Simon says, do this. 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 Do this. All right, if he's flinching, sit down. All right, Simon says, do this. Simon says, do this. Simon says, do this. Simon says, do this. Do this. Simon says, do this. Come on, man. Do this. Do this. Come on, brother. Do this with me, man. What, you're not going to do this with me? Oh, man, how come you did it last week? Why don't you do it this week? Simon says do this. 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 Do this. All right, do this. All right. Now, you got to be honest now. If you flinch, you got to be honest about the fact that you made the mistake, so I want you to sit down. If you flinch just a little bit. All right, you ready? Do this. Simon says do this. Simon says do this. Simon says, do this. Simon says, do this. All right. Simon says, do this. Simon says, put your hands down. Simon says, stop. You know what? I can't see you two's feet. Come on out for a second. Come on out. Good job. All right, ready? Simon says, do this. Simon says, do this. Simon says, do this. Simon says this. Simon says this. Simon says this. Simon says this. Do this. Simon says this. Do this. Simon says this. Simon says this. Simon says this. Do this. This brother can play this game. Let's give him a round of applause. All right, hold on. You ain't out yet. You got to go with me. Ready? You ready? You ready for this? Simon says this. Do this. Got to move with me. Do this. Simon says this. Do this. Simon says this.
Praise the Lord. That is exactly what I envisioned as the Lord gave me this message. And thank you, Bill. It's so good to know that God provides the gifts there in the house. Amen. But there was a method in my madness. Okay. What was the interesting, I mean, what's the essence of the game? Can't move unless Simon says, right? And so what do you have to do in order to, you have to pay attention. That's it. Who said pay attention? There you go. All right. You have to pay attention. Okay. Now, I want, you know, part of my job is to demystify the language that we use to talk about our relationship with the Lord, right? So that you can understand it practically, because you have to communicate it practically. You understand? Simon says requires you to pay attention to the person at the head of the room, okay? It's a game that forces you to do something that's, you know, it's not what our brains are designed to do, to get this constant stream of you know, instruction and then someone trying to trick you. So, you know, you basically, as long as you feel like devoting your, you know, the concentration, you know, you'll do all right, but then, you know, eventually you just, nobody feels like doing it forever, okay? At that pace, you understand? And so, you know, there's not a whole lot of reward in it. And so, you know, the other things in life that you, you know, have greater interest in, eventually you're going to get you out, right? But that's okay because, you know, life goes on, right? But it forces you to pay attention to the person in the front of the room. With that in mind, let's take a look at John chapter 10, verses 22 through 39. Which is not on your sheet, sorry. John 10, verses 22 through 39. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. But you do not believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, "I've shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" "We're not stoning you for any of these," replied the Jews, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own, and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. But if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe in the miracles, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Again, they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. I want you to focus on my sheep. Listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. You know what? My sheep know my voice. I know them and they follow me. Okay? Jesus' sheep. Who belongs to Jesus? He said, my sheep, right? Right? Christian means belonging to Christ. Okay? The people who belong to Christ know his voice and follow him. You understand? At its most basic, the word Christian only properly refers to people who pay attention to Jesus. Please understand that. Don't get it twisted. You meet people who are churchgoers, but they're not paying attention to Jesus. They're not Christians. You meet people who are paying attention to what the church thinks, so they're following all the church rules, but they're not paying attention to Jesus. They're not Christians. And we don't hate them or condemn them, but you need to understand, and you need to be able to distinguish between, you understand? That's why we've said, you know, there's, you know, it has been said there's only two kinds of people in the world. Those who think there are only two kinds of people. and everybody else. But I say unto you. Now, there's three kinds of people, right? There's people who reject Jesus. There's people who talk about Jesus. And then there's people who follow Jesus in a verifiable way. You understand? Okay? Christians, real Christians, pay attention to Jesus. Thank God it isn't like Simon says. Jesus isn't trying to trick you or get you out. I told Bill, take out as many as you can. And I said, you got about 3 minutes to do it. And he delivered. I told him, I said, brother, I said, Bill, take him out. Jesus isn't trying to take you out. He wants you to live. But you got to pay attention. You understand? You got to pay attention. What does it mean to pay attention? Well, this is on your sheet. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 29. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I kind of think that the way he actually said it was, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. There are going to be people facing Jesus trying to speak in tongues, you know. I'm your boy, you know me. I was at every conference I was. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice it's like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. We looked at this earlier in our series on the Sermon on the Mount, and of course, what's really important to note is that Jesus is saying this at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So at that point, what he had said, anyone who hears my words and puts them into practice, pretty much referred to the Sermon on the Mount. And I've said before that, you know, when you notice problem when public ministries fail, when ministries fail publicly, it's usually not for complicated stuff. It's usually basic character stuff like the stuff Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. And everyone encounters challenging circumstances, right? Notice that in this parable, two houses, both of them have what? The streams, the rain comes down, the streams rise, the winds blow and beat against the house, right? So it happens to both houses. The one that's built on the rock, okay, stands. The one that's built on sand collapses. Now, what is the rock in this parable? What does the rock represent? No, the rock is not Jesus. Read it again. What is the rock? Practicing his word. Jesus is our rock, but not in this parable. You understand? Okay? In the context of the parable, the rock is putting his words into practice. Amen? Okay. So if you put his words into practice, you can survive the big things that come against you. Things like betrayal by a spiritual leader, betrayal by a family. See, you got to understand, the house collapsing isn't death. The house collapsing is your faith collapsing, your place in the kingdom vanishing, right? That's what it means for your house to collapse. There are people that have stuff come against them, and they say, that's it, I ain't with it anymore. This church thing, later. Jesus, Sorry, I'm out. You understand? Their house collapses. It is not talking about financial ruin. I mean, that could be associated with it, but that's not, it's not financial ruin. It's your faith house. You understand? Your connection with the word of, with God and his kingdom collapse. That's what it's talking about. That collapses sometimes for some people because a spiritual leader betrays them, or a family member betrays them, or they lose a loved one, or they experience financial disaster, or sometimes it's Western materialism. You understand? Jesus said, don't lay up treasures on earth, right? Yeah. There are all kinds of things that come against us that can take your house out if you haven't built it on a rock. Right. But if you build your house on a rock, you're putting Jesus' words into practice, okay? Now, I lay that out there because it's important that you understand, that you be able to articulate. I believe you all know in your heart what it means to be a Christian, but you need words to be able to articulate it, because you've got to be able to share it with other people. You got to share it with your children. It's putting his word into practice. Christian means belonging to Jesus. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. You understand? Following Jesus is not abstract. It means paying attention. Paying attention to what? Putting his words into practice. You understand? Critical that you understand that. Now, read you another passage, Jeremiah chapter 42, verses 42 on into the seventh verse of chapter 43. This takes place at the time of the exile when the southern kingdom, Israel had split into a northern and a southern kingdom. The southern kingdom was fine. The northern kingdom had been taken over, taken out by the Assyrians before, and now the Babylonians, who had themselves conquered the Assyrians, were now conquering other kingdoms, and it was time for Judah, the southern kingdom, to be taken over, and they were going to be exiled out of the land into Babylonian captivity. And so at about this time, Jeremiah is, this is in Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was a prophet that told them, well, you know, God, time's up, you know. God's been telling you, warning you, repent, do right, treat the poor right, stop all of your immorality, etc., and you won't listen, it's over. Babylon's coming, he's going to take you out. So, and at this point, it's already begun. Then all the army officers, starting in Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 1, then all the army officers, including Johanan, son of Kareah, and Jezaniah of Hoshea, and all the people from the least to the greatest approached Jeremiah the prophet and said to him, please hear our petition and pray to the Lord your God for this entire remnant. For as you now see, though we were once many, now only a few are left. Pray that the Lord your God will tell us where we should go and what we should do. I've heard you, replied Jeremiah the prophet. I will certainly pray to the Lord your God as you've requested. I will tell you everything the Lord says and will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, may the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not act in accordance with everything the Lord your God sends you to tell us. Whether it is favorable or unfavorable, we will obey the Lord our God to whom we are sending you so that it will go well with us, for we will obey the Lord our God. 10 days later, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. So he called together Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the army officers who were with him, and all the people from the least to the greatest. He said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition, says, if you stay in this land, I will build you up and not tear you down. I will plant you and not uproot you, for I am grieved over the disaster I have inflicted on you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, whom you now fear. Do not be afraid of him, declares the Lord, for I am with you and will save you and deliver you from his hands. This is just a remnant that's left now. I will show you compassion so that he will have compassion on you and restore you to your land. However, if you say we will not stay in this land, and so disobey the Lord your God, and if you say no, we will go and live in Egypt, where we will not see war or hear the trumpet or be hungry for bread, then hear the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. If you are determined to go to Egypt and you do go to settle there, then the sword you fear will overtake you there, and the famine you dread will follow you into Egypt, and there you will die. Indeed, all who are determined to go to Egypt and to settle there will die by the sword, famine, and plague. Not one of them will survive or escape the disaster I will bring on them. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. As my anger and wrath have been poured out on those who lived in Jerusalem, so will my wrath be poured out on you when you go to Egypt. You will be an object of cursing and horror, of condemnation and reproach. You will never see this place again. O remnant of Judah, the Lord has told you, do not go to Egypt. Be sure of this. I warn you today that you made a fatal mistake when you sent me to the Lord your God and said, pray to the Lord our God for us. Tell us everything he says and we will do it. I've told you today, but you still have not obeyed the Lord your God at all he sent me to tell you. So now be sure of this. You will die by the sword, famine, and plague in the place where you want to go to settle. When Jeremiah finished telling the people all the words of the Lord their God, everything the Lord had sent him to tell them, Azariah son of Hoshea and Johanan son of Kiriah and all the arrogant men said to Jeremiah, you're lying. The Lord our God has not sent you to say you must not go to Egypt to settle there. But Baruch, son of Neriah, is inciting you against us to hand us over to the Babylonians so they may kill us or carry us into exile to Babylon. So Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the army officers and all the people disobeyed the Lord's command to stay in the land of Judah. Instead, Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the army officers led away all the remnant of Judah who had come back to live in the land of Judah from all the nations where they had been scattered. They also led away all the men, women, and children and the king's daughters whom Nebuchadnezzar, commander of the imperial guard, had left with Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Baruch, son of Neriah. So they entered Egypt in disobedience to the Lord and went as far as Tapenes. You made a fatal mistake when you sent me to ask the Lord for a word for you. Right? Now, I didn't share that to give you a sense of impending judgment. I wanted you to see an example of people who say, what's God saying? Give us the word of the Lord. Whatever God says, we're going to do. And then God tells them something, and they're not going to do it. They'd already had their minds made up what they wanted the word of the Lord to be. And they weren't really interested in what they had. They just wanted Jeremiah to put it in religious language so they could get that warm, fuzzy feeling as they went off to Egypt. Okay? Pay attention. But you have to, Christians actually want to know what God is actually saying. And they're prepared for what God says to violate whatever their preconceptions are. Amen? I know what I want God to do, but you know what? Since he's God and I'm not, I need to be prepared just in case what he says isn't what I want. Amen? Don't make a fatal mistake like this remnant did. Amen. Don't make a fatal mistake like this remnant did. Amen? All right. Don't play. God loves you too much for you to play with him. I mean, when you did a parable walk at the retreat, I mean, that's times of intimate and recreational and what. I'm not saying that everything's going to be serious and, you know, grim all the time, but don't play in the sense of taking lightly what God is saying and what he's doing. You understand? Okay. Now, since we're following Jesus, it's critically important that we have a grasp, a growing grasp of who this Jesus is that we're following. So what we're going to do is you're going to break up into our traditional four groups. And you have there on your sheet four passages, five, but we've done the first one. Okay. And so what I want you to do is to spend I'm going to have you reflect on the remaining four passages. That's John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, Ephesians 1, 15 through 23, Colossians 1, 9 through 20, and Hebrews 1, 1 through 4. So let's break up into groups, turn the chairs around, and get that going. And I'm going to ask you to let's say this group over here, you're going to start with the John passage. And then work your way through. The group over to my left in the back, you're going to start with the Ephesians passage and then work through back around to John. This group over here in the front on my right are going to start with the Colossians passage, work your way down to Hebrews, and then back around to John and Ephesians. And then the group on my right in the back, you're going to start with the Hebrews passage and work your way around. So that way everybody is at least, you know, we'll have some coverage of every, of each passage. Read the passage, introduce yourselves quickly. Read the passage, and I want you to discuss, share what you learned about Jesus from this passage and what you think God is saying to you through what you just learned from the passage. Amen? Okay, I'm going to call for volunteers, a volunteer from each group. Starting with this one. All right, everybody have their volunteer? You guys have your volunteer? All right, so let's come on up. Come on, this group number one over here. Let's go. Come on, come on, come on. Let's go, let's go. Send somebody up. Let's go. You're the, okay. Well, I'm gonna take them in order. So okay, good. You're good. I'm glad. Good. Just come on, come on.
Oh, I'm Ohene. Sorry. So our passage was the John 1, John 1, 1 to 14, and. We understood, one, that John was the least educated of all the disciples, and he wrote some of the more complicated language here, and the idea that God can impart what God wants to say was just very clear. We also talked about the sense of understanding really some of the complexity of the Word and the Word becoming God, and we had a little bit of discussion about Trinitarianism and whether he is... the unity, you know, understanding of Jesus being with God, it seems like Jesus being God, and just working through some of those, the different viewpoints. We talked a little about Jehovah's Witnesses and other perspectives. What else? Yes, and we also talked about the idea that in him was the life, in him was life, and that life of the light of men. Michael brought up a point about the stars and how stars are the only things that give off light in the planets and the solar system. And so everything else it's a reflection. You see light shining off other things, which is why we keep discovering new stuff, because it's so dark up there. And the idea that I think was powerful for me is that Christ is that light. And he is the light of, he is our light in us, and sort of our true light is Christ in us. And so without Christ, we have this, you know, reflect off some of it, but I think God actually desires for each of us to take him into ourselves and see what it would look like if he was to reflect fully through us.
Group two.
Me a choice, so don't sorry. So we had Ephesians 1:15-23. Oh, I'm Anisha. Okay. We had Ephesians 1:15-23. And basically just some of the things that stood out for us is that it's a prayer that basically Paul is praying over the people. And he's asking that basically that we understand Jesus better and that we understand exactly what it is that he wants from us or that he wants. Basically, he wants us to know him better so that we'll know exactly how to please him, kind of. And we looked at things that you can receive, I guess, as a result of knowing him better. For example, it says he prayed that we would, that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened. Also that we'll share in his inheritance as well. And that also we'll see his great power as well. And for me personally, which is why I guess they all asked me to come up here, for me personally, the thing that stood out is that basically Jesus was anointed to be head over the church. And I was saying that I have a hard time with that sometimes because I kind of see Jesus as just that sacrificial lamb. It's like he came, he died for us, and then that was it. I mean, you know, he rose again, but that was it. And it's like he's not still dead. You know, he is still alive, and that basically he's still talking to us the whole time. And I also, when I read this, I'm looking at the last sentence, which says that basically he was anointed, Jesus was anointed to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. And it says the fullness of him, who fills everything in every way. And I was asking, what does that mean, the fullness of him? And then Crystal kind of talked about her own life and basically her children and how she wants them to kind of imitate her and basically her characteristics. And then that kind of showed me exactly what it meant by that. Basically, when we imitate Jesus or when we do exactly what it is that he's asking us to do, then that's basically his fulfillment. And so then as we develop that relationship with Jesus and get to know him more and more, then basically we're making him happier and happier. And then when you have a relationship with somebody, you kind of want to please him, so it makes you want to do it even more and more. Right.
I'm scared.
Wow.
Well, our little tiny group over here. Amen. Oh, yes, I'm Paulia Mooney McCoy. And we had Colossians 1, 9 through 20. And so some of the things that that we talked about really struck us. One was looking at the fact that it's knowledge of God's will that is really important in terms of us bearing fruit for every good work and growing in knowledge and being strengthened with power, that the central part of that is really knowing what God wants and knowing what his will is. And that leads us to those other things. We talked about the fact that this brought out how Jesus is supreme. Is that he has supremacy in everything, that he is, the firstborn over all creation, the image of the invisible God, and that it was talked about how when our concept of Jesus gets, can get like fuzzy or loose or whatever, this really tightens that and brings us back to the main point that Jesus is supreme. And then we also talked about how this brings up for us Paul's real commitment to praying that his brothers and sisters would grow in their knowledge of Christ, that they would get to know Jesus better. And it was said how often that may not be our prayer. We might pray for the lost, but we're not really praying as intensely for our brothers and sisters that they might grow in Christ and know Jesus better. And then we also talked about that the whole sense of God reconciling all things to himself. We also need to be reconcilers. As he was one who reconciled, if we're going to imitate Christ, we need to also be ones that reconcile. And one thing that was brought up that I thought was just so striking was the whole sense that it's never too late. It's never too late for reconciliation to happen. And again, for us to be able to reach out with that message of reconciliation, sometimes that means coming out of our comfort zone. But to come to the place where we really can touch others with that same message. And does that represent what we talked about? Yes? Amen.
My name is Carla.
We're not doing a skit. And I was just saying, it's interesting that I was chosen as the leader because I have this tendency to only remember what I say and not remember what other people say. But
start with what you say.
Okay, I'll start with what I said. So I was saying that Hebrews, this particular verse in Hebrews is especially meaningful to me because it talks about Jesus being the radiance of God's glory. And just personally, I think sometimes it can be difficult to relate to God as a father, to really understand that kind of relationship, particularly growing up without a father in the home. But it's just so helpful to look at the life and the personhood of Jesus and how he moved through this world and his interactions with women and kind of just his responses really helped me to understand the motivation, the heart, and the desires of God the Father. So, you know, that's kind of something that was significant for me.
I'm Jay Hughley. And so we also talked about, like, this group, the sufficiency and supremacy of God in this passage, in the book of Hebrews being a letter that had part of its mission to tell the Jews that Jesus is the one and he's greater than other prophets. And it's not just a prophet we're dealing with. We're dealing with the exact representation of God, which is what the scripture says. And we talked about how that demystified, just seeing Jesus' actions and his words demystified the heart of God for us. And then we talked about just the personal God, the God of the universe, the God of the solar system, the planets. What, they just found a planet made out of diamonds a couple of days ago. This is the same God that wants to be our friend. And that's true about the diamond planet. That's a fact. It's not in the solar system. And also that God loves everyone. And that part of what he did was to come here and provide purification for us because he loves us. And so his love was a big piece of that as well.
Praise the Lord. Okay. So it sounds like you all got something out of the word. Okay. So what I want to encourage you to do is have a plan for following Jesus. Okay, remember we said following Jesus means paying attention, and paying attention is putting his words into practice. You need to have a plan for following Jesus. You need to have a plan for reading what he said so you can pay attention to it and put it into practice. You understand? It's not enough for it to just be, well, when I come to church, I just, whatever I catch, whatever. You need a plan. How are you going to follow Jesus when you're not together with the saints on Sunday? This should be something you're working on. Amen? It doesn't have to be deep. It doesn't have to be some long passage, but there should be something in the word that you're working on at the moment. It might take you a day, might take you a week, a month, might take you a whole year, but there should be something in the word that you're working on that you know God wants you working on at this moment. Amen? Have a plan. Read through Jesus' original words, the Gospels, okay? Read through the words that Jesus delivered through the people who he called, right? The epistles, the letters. Read through the Old Testament. You have a plan. Start simply, but have something you're working on. And we're going to have developing some, you know, some schedules and some reading plans and some other material for around the Bible. But you can start really simply. You don't need to wait for some elaborate formal plan. Pick up Matthew, and you know, we're in Matthew. Take the passages that we're doing on Sunday, but work on them. You understand what I'm saying? Get to know Jesus better. Take these passages that now all of you have got to just one passage, or anyone move on to a second one? No, okay. So you've got these other three passages that you guys didn't work on. Meditate on them throughout the next few weeks. And feel free to get together with other brothers and sisters. Amen. and talk about it like you're doing now. You see the fruit that comes from coming together with other brothers and sisters to talk about the word? These are some passages that would be good for you to do that with. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, let's close out in prayer. Lord, we're just so grateful for this chance to get your word into us. Please, Lord, live big in us and cause your word to bear rich fruit in us. And have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others and watch God's kingdom take off around you.